It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're listening to Checkpoint Intimates, a show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is Luke. I am joined by Hayley.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. And it's been a bit of an interesting week in the games industry.
Yeah, it has been.
Three highly anticipated video games for 2020 have experienced some sort of delay. We saw Final Fantasy VII delayed a month. We saw Marvel's Avengers delayed about 4 months, and Cyberpunk 2077 also delayed a few months.
It was like 4 or 5 months, that one too. Yeah.
So those two are both coming out in September now, which is very, very close to the next generation of consoles, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess it sort of prompted that sort of question. This often happens early in a year where we see, you know, developers and publishers sometimes ambitiously put release dates on their games, but then they're unable to meet those deadlines. So they get pushed back for whatever reason. And to have three delays in such a short period of time on the indie side as well, a game called Best Friend Forever, the animal dating sim where you've got your dogs as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was delayed.
Oh.
From February 14th till May. So 3 months for them as well. So it's not an exclusive AAA thing. They also committed to a date as an indie, and they have been unable to meet that, and they've realized that, and they've said we've got to push it back. So I guess, Hayley, we wanted to talk about, you know, the pros and cons of delays, because there is, you know, the merits for delaying a game to, you know, avoid crunch culture for people, but there's also sometimes a game delay can impact the actual eventual sales and quality of that product, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at, there was some quote by Shigeru Miyamoto that's, I'm going to be ad-libbing here because I don't have my phone and I can't be bothered looking it up.
That's fair.
But he's like, a delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is bad forever, et cetera, except for, you know, patches are now a thing.
Right.
And, like, yeah, there's a point there, but then there's games that, like, Duke Nukem Forever, which were stuck in such a development hell, constantly being delayed and pushed back, that they ended up being absolutely terrible and relics of a bygone age that should have been forgotten.
And look, that's the balance, right? And that's the thing when you delay a game, especially when you do have this sort of technology moving so swiftly, right? Mm. You know, so when you have a game and it's set for a release date, the games that are due out this year in 2020, if they're delayed any further, they're not going to be coming out on this generation of consoles or in the same window of that console. And that's a problem because people are moving on to the next generation, the next tech. They're looking at what the future's going to hold. So if a game is delayed too much, it can literally fall outside of what people want.
Yeah, definitely. And it's got me kind of concerned because that feels like, if they're delaying these games, that there's still going to be that level of crunch there. Like, they're saying, oh, it's to minimize crunch, but they're not saying it's going to eliminate it.
Yeah.
There's still going to be that crunch there. You know, like, Cyberpunk have come out and said that they're not going to be releasing, CD Projekt Red have come out and they said they're not going to be releasing Cyberpunk on next generation of consoles. So you know that they'll be crunching to get that game out before the next gen comes out.
100%.
You know that, you know, Final Fantasy, I mean, the game Japanese game industry already has horrible practices. You know Squeenix is going to be crunching like hell to get Final Fantasy done and dusted before the next generation comes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we saw last year, I hate to bring up Anthem every time I talk about something negative, but, you know, that was an experience of crunch culture where that had to come out by the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
Because they had these higher-ups at EA who were saying, no, it has to be out by March. That's your deadline. And so they released it in March in an unfinished, buggy state. And, you know, this is what you don't want to have because when a game releases in that state, that's when the reviews come out. That's when critics get it. That's when everyone goes and buys it on day one. And then, yeah, look, games can improve over time. Yes, and we saw that with, like, No Man's Sky, for example, where, you know, 2 years later, the game that was completely improved and better than what it was when it first came out. But ultimately, Anthem, even though it has made some improvements in the last year, people are so soured by the fact that it was bad when it launched. So, yeah. I mean, you know, in that sense, delaying a game to get it right is super important. Ubisoft recently came out and said, you know, they were delaying Watch Dogs Legion, Gods and Monsters, for several months. You know, Watch Dogs Legion was due out in 2 months' time. That hasn't got a date on it. And the reason they said that was because their games they released last year weren't received that well. They released Ghost Recon Breakpoint. The game was very average. I reviewed it.
It was kind of bad.
And it just felt like a hodgepodge of everything. Yeah. And it was like, wow, this could have used some more time, and it didn't sell very well. I think that sort of stung Ubisoft, and they thought, well, hang on a second, we can't stuff up the next one. We cannot afford, literally, to release another game that's not received well.
They need to, like, take their time, polish it up. I mean, it's an Ubisoft game, so you can only polish a turd so much. But,
Ubisoft aren't that bad.
Oh, you knew it was coming, though.
I did.
But, you know, it's good to see them taking this time to delay it, but it does mean that these games don't get into the hands of gamers. I was about to say consumers, but gamers, as soon as, like, we would like. There's been examples where they've rushed out a game and the review code that companies have gotten reviewers have gotten has been absolutely terrible. It's been a buggy mess. Yeah. And then they're like, well, don't worry, guys. There's a day one patch to fix this. That doesn't change the fact that you've rushed the game to the point where your review code is terrible.
Yeah. Like, I think when it comes down to it, like, you know, these games cost so much as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're paying someone so much money to actually create something, and it's not just one person, you're paying a team of sometimes, you know, 50 to 100 to more people to finish a product. For it to then come out and not sell well, to have lost money on making something, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's this flip side of it on the financial level, and I'm not a game developer, so I don't want to speak for anybody else in the industry. I'm not, you know, as part of that side of it. But, you know, it's expensive to delay a game in the sense that, okay, if you've got a release window of March, and then you change that because you need more development time, and now the release window is September, all of a sudden, you've got to find 6 months' worth of more salary for all of those people to work on that game for that time period.
Exactly.
So delaying a game sometimes makes it even worse, unless it's going to be a massive success. And we think that, you know, most of the games we're talking about today that were delayed, Final Fantasy, Cyberpunk, and Marvel's Avengers, they'll probably do well based on their name alone, you know what I mean? Based on the hype, based on the IPs that they are, they should be okay.
At the very least, Final Fantasy and Cyberpunk will do really well. I've heard that Marvel's going to be an online game, so unless the netcode's terrible,
I think people will buy it, though, hey? Parents will be like, oh, Marvel for my kids, yes. Like, yeah, Marvel's a safe bet for families because it's not going to have that super violent, ridiculous adult content.
That's true.
Except for Deadpool, but that's, you know, a different kettle of fish altogether. So, yeah, I think that, you know, there's these two sides of it. It's like the cost to get a game finished after it's already been due must be astronomical and could result in the game still having problems when it launches. We were talking earlier about Duke Nukem Forever.
Duke Nukem Forever.
As an example of a game that was delayed to the point where we thought it wasn't even going to happen. And then eventually sort of came out. But, like, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, it was an archaic.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And it was an archaic... Can I swear here?
Yeah, you can swear on this one.
Yeah. It was an archaic piece of shit.
Fuck, Hayley, don't say that.
Yeah, it was a... Fuck. It was just an archaic piece of shit that felt like it belonged back in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was not fun. It didn't learn from any of... Like, it was coming from a time... Out of the time where the shooter genre had made so many leaps and bounds in terms of, like, tech and gameplay loops and everything, and it just hadn't taken any of that on board, and you could feel it the moment you jumped into this game. And then, like, they're, like, dunking on, like, the Chief and everything like that, and it's like, well, no, the Chief, Master Chief and all these other, like, franchises that you're dunking on in this game have done so much better than you, and they've gone from strength to strength.
And that's the thing as well, you know, when you have a game that's in production for such a long time, some of those modern sensibilities aren't going to be in place. You can say what you want about the yearly franchises like Call of Duty or even like Assassin's Creed, you know, games that come out relatively frequently. But, I mean, those games, because they're on every year and they're constantly trying to sell every year and improve upon the previous year, the Call of Duty compared to, like, Call of Duty 3 versus, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare that came out last year, it's night and day. Like, the difference in quality and the modern sensibilities are huge. Whilst the Duke Nukem hasn't been out for 20 years,
exactly,
they released a new one. And the same thing with Shenmue that came out recently as well. which I haven't played yet. But, you know, by looking at it, you go, well, this is a game that's from a different era.
Yeah, this is
literally
a game that's stuck back in, like, the early 2000s.
Right.
And, like, there are going to be people who are totally here for it. Like, one of my friends was like, oh, no, this is a design choice. This is totally on purpose. But it's like, is it, or is it just that the developer hasn't really paid attention to what's going on around them?
Yeah.
And the same goes for Kingdom Hearts 3. Which, you know, other games are, that game was back when I was like a wee lass. And, you know, it's only up to its third entry. It's taken so long to get here, and that game feels like it's a PS2 game.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When you delay something so much, it doesn't hold up to today's standards, you know?
Yeah.
I have much more respect and time for developers like Naughty Dog, for example, who, you know, they have literally evolved with each console. You know, Crash Bandicoot was a simple platformer, but the PlayStation was a very simple console, you know. And then they did Jak and Daxter, which of course was the more of this open world style of thing, because the PS2 could handle that.
And they started to experiment with, like, let's do some story-driven stuff and everything.
Yeah, bang, like, Uncharted. Then I was like, well, let's evolve that even further. Let's add some open world elements. Let's do The Last of Us. And I feel like, you know, that's a developer that's constantly trying to improve and keep up with the times of modern gaming, if not setting the standard for what modern gaming looks like.
Exactly.
And I think that if they had games after games suffering delay, I just wonder, obviously budget comes into it, and, you know, production timelines and stuff, but, you know, obviously talent comes into play too, right? When you have a game that's a game development team consistently churning out good quality stuff like that, and then other franchises like Kingdom Hearts do, you know, three games in their mainline franchise over a 15-year period, yeah, something's got to be going on internally there where the decisions aren't being made appropriately.
Yeah, and you've got to wonder maybe if this has lead talent left, has, like, something gone on in the background. I know that might be the case with The Best Friends Forever, because they recently posted a job posting for a bunch of new programmers and stuff. So, you can't really tell with these delays and stuff. Like, I feel Cyberpunk is taking the risk here because they know they have enough money to pay the rest of their staff as they run. Not only do make some of the most loved games of the past couple of years, they also run their own platform and therefore have more money than God.
I guess you would think, you know, at this stage in their development, looking at the scope and scale of Cyberpunk and how big and gorgeous that game is looking, right? And the amount of story elements and dialogue and just even just how it looks generally, there's no way they're going to be doing anything major in that 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be more fine-tuning and testing and getting rid of bugs and testing out different storylines and how they flow together and stuff. It's not going to be about adding new crazy things. It'll be about fine-tuning and perfecting what they've already got.
This has got to be just spit and polish. Because, like, I'm currently playing through The Witcher 3 at the moment, and there are still some graphical bugs and stuff there where, like, Geralt will start talking to a merchant, and the merchant won't open his thing, and then the merchant will just disappear, or Geralt will pull out a completely different sword to what is in the cutscene to what he's actually got equipped, and stuff like that. And it's all very silly, but, like, these are little bugs that they probably, for a game they've hyped up so much, they probably want to iron those ones out.
At the same time, I think people are quite forgiving of open world bugs.
Yeah.
I know that, I mean, Bethesda are almost famous for their bugs.
Bethesda get away with a lot.
They do. Could you go, oh, but look at the scope and the scale. Like, no wonder this happens. When you have a world that size, things are going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And things you don't expect. You can play test it 100 times and you won't see something that next player is going to randomly do. They're going to try and jump over a table, a different angle that you didn't expect, and get stuck in the table. Like, things are going to go wrong. But yeah, I completely understand when you have such hype behind you and a developer with the pedigree of CD Projekt Red. But also, I think it's nice that they have, I guess, the passion to know that they don't want to release a product that has these issues. They want to make sure their game is up to standard, because they could release it in May as per the original release date with some bugs, and then they could patch it later, and people probably wouldn't care that much. You know what I mean? So I think the fact that they're taking the time and the money to go and delay something for a few months to make sure it's perfect, that speaks to them as a developer as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, they're not answering to some big boss who's telling them to do something. They're able to make that decision, as a creative decision as a person, as opposed to like a company with money.
Yeah, they're not only developer but publisher, so they can get away with a lot.
Yeah.
And like that's really good on their end. Square Enix, it's a bit more questionable. It's like, are you maybe just taking that time to produce more body pillows of Cloud? Is that what you're doing? Who knows? Are we getting
those? Or huggable body pillows of Cloud?
Possibly. Mm. I know they probably have like Tifa mouse pads.
Oh no.
Every like weeaboo fanboy piece of merchandise I hate with a passion. But you know, I don't know what exactly they're doing with that one, because the game is already looking gorgeous.
Well, yeah, we played it at PAX last year as well, and it seemed like it was a pretty good place, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm not a game developer. I don't really know the deep dark issues that a game could possibly have in the back end.
Yeah, they could be experiencing problems where it's bricking consoles.
Exactly,
which would be
right.
Hilarious.
Which we've seen games release and do as well. So yeah. I mean, you know, Fallout 76. These things happen. So I guess it is that balance of like, you want to delay something to make sure it's right, but you don't want to do it so much that people forget about you as well.
Exactly.
And that's what it was for Shenmue for me. You know, that was delayed so much. I backed it on Kickstarter like 5 years ago. Eventually, when it came out in like November, I was like, oh, okay. And I had it on my console downloaded because of the Kickstarter, and I still haven't played it in 2 months because it just came out at a time that I wasn't really wanting it, and I was sort of a bit over it, and I just didn't care. And I think that, you know, games have a risk of losing their audience if you're delayed for too long, if you don't mention something for long enough. The same thing happened with Crackdown 3 on the Xbox recently. That was one that I was super excited for. And then the game that came out, it was like, oh yeah, Crackdown's happening. Like, because I forgot about it.
Yeah.
The hype was dropped. They didn't talk about it for 3 years. And it was like, oh, you know, so there's something to be said about, I guess, developers and publishers choosing when they show off a game and when they announce it as well.
Like, I am currently going through a situation similar to the Shenmue situation, where I backed a game called Wildfire back in, like, 2014-15.
Wow.
And the game still hasn't come out. The only time I remembered it is walking into my my best friend slash sister's house and seeing a Wildfire postcard on her wall, because she has this wall of like pictures that she's stuck up, and being like, oh, that's a game that is coming out and I backed. Where is that? And then, you know, getting an email, I think, last month that was just like, yeah, we're still here. We're still existing. We're still making the game. Don't worry. Yeah.
I think, you know, kickstarting and delays is like a whole different can of worms to talk about, which
that's true.
You know, crazy. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, game delays, there are definitely pros and cons. There are 100%, you know, things that happen that you can't help. But I think that at the same time, publishers should be, or developers should be, a bit smarter about giving release dates, you know. Say what you want about Bethesda generally, but I will say they wait until a game is like ready to go.
Yeah.
And they announce it and they stick to that date. They don't delay stuff very often. It's very clear cut. Sony are kind of the same with their first party stuff. When they put a date on something, and it might take them years to do that, to put a date on something. But when they do, that's it.
Yeah.
It's locked, and you know that, you know?
Like, Bethesda will know that their games will come out with these same usual bugs, and those bugs have been patched by the community so many times that they can just be like, okay, well, the community will patch this day one. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
We can just put this out. And so they can be pretty, like, resolute in their releasing. And Sony's, you know, like, as you said, they're really good in that kind of thing. It's just, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Exactly. Hey, thank you for joining me on Intimates, talking about delays, and we had a few this week, and possibly more to come. You know, it's still early in the year. There can be more delays to talk about.
We could get another delay for Animal Crossing. Who knows?
Oh, don't say that. I can't have that. No,
it'll happen. They'll need to, like, because Nintendo realized capitalism is bad, so they'll need to delay it so that they can have a big end boss fight with Tom Nook.
Okay, right. Of course. The evil Tom Nook.
Yeah, you've got to, like, kneecap the raccoon. It'll be great.
Thank you, Hayley, and we'll catch you next time with more Intimates.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.